南無妙法蓮華経。南無妙法蓮華経。Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Hi everyone, thank you for being here. I hope this finds you in good health and secure. We're getting, Nichiren is wrapping up this letter to the monks of Sesshōji in deference to, or in homage, if you will, to his now deceased teacher, Dōzen. There's still a good bit to go through, but Nichiren is now going to shift his focus to his mission of being a votary of the Lotus Sutra, and he's going to start out by demonstrating how Japan went down this false road of Buddhism, largely due to the violence of the warring samurai power. As I've described several times, Nichiren's time, and for context, if you want to know a little bit about Nichiren's life and times and how or what his obstacles may have looked like while he was determined to speak out on the correct practice of Lotus Sutra Buddhism, amidst all of this propaganda and, again, totalitarian, very authoritarian, really fascist kind of control by the might of the sword, which is not just not an idle statement. Like, there's often in a cloudy village, all of these assassins, and throughout the land, they're heard of. No. Samurai were in your face. They had a huge network. I mean, there were regents that served the ruling family of areas of Japan, but their fiefdom, their controlled area, was very much populated all over Japan by samurai. And so, with the snap of a finger, if you represented ideas, if you were vocal about ideas that threatened, in other words, didn't agree with the prevailing elite opinion, you could wake up with dozens of samurai at your door before sunrise. You could have your family, your wife taken away from you, your family turned to slavery, your lands absconded. And that's if you were lucky enough to survive. They might just walk in, cut your head off, and leave the women and children to cry and wail about you until, see what happens if you don't agree. I mean, that's a kind of oppression that we can talk about, but it's very hard to really grasp mentally. And the reason that I would make this example to you is simply to understand more profoundly what it meant to perform Shakyamuni's teachings correctly under the auspices of this renegade or pain in the thorn in the side Nichiren character, right? Not only would you have to well up the reason and the rationale to see how correct Nichiren was, I mean, that's a problematic all its own, because you're fighting a programming propaganda day in and day out that's enforced by this constant threat. So you have to muster quite a lot of courage to go, no, Nichiren's right. That's how we must practice. But then what level of, you might say, foolishness would you be counted amongst his followers? No. Yeah. I know you're having a Nembutsu party next Saturday, but my family and I, we're not going to attend because, you know, we're Nichiren followers. Yeesh. You might be careful, although inspired, you're being told by Nichiren and Shakyamuni, no, believe what you believe and don't shy away from it. Because when you shy away from it, your own determination, your confidence, your practice suffers. So it's really kind of an ultimatum, yeah? Not an easy time of it did Buddhists, true Buddhists, have it back then. So we're going to get a little bit of history, and then Nichiren's going to talk about his own persecution. But in this context, he's talking about it as a historical reality and demonstrating the teachings of Shakyamuni, right? So it's kind of a condensed course, you know, for those who are wanting to know more about Nichiren, his life, that kind of thing. We're going to start with the Jokyu incident and Shingon Buddhism. Because there was a point in the history of Japan when all of that betrayal and political tomfoolery and machinations and distributing this fake information and propaganda could have been put to an end. And at that time, the sovereign of Japan was King Gotoba. Emperor Gotoba. And Emperor Gotoba was very much a fan of Shakyamuni's Buddhism, and very much not a fan of what he clearly saw as this assault from these egomaniacs manipulating the history of Buddhism for their own gains. And so quietly, behind the scenes, behind the samurai, which were propagating all over Japan, well, I'll let Nichiren say it. As the Buddhist schools of Shingon, Zen, and Pure Land, the Jodo sect, grew in power, ex-Emperor Gotoba, the 82nd ruler of Japan, planned to destroy Regent Hojo Yoshitoki of the Kamakura Shogunate. He was going to put an end to this. Take down this rule by might of the samurai, the shogunate, and return the country to an emperor-based control and managing affairs. As Gotoba was the sovereign of Japan, it appeared as easy for him to carry out his plan as a lion attacking a rabbit or a hawk catching a pheasant. He's the emperor, very powerful person, commands many troops. Besides, he had ordered for several years Mount Hiei, the Toji Temple, the Onjoji Temple, the seven great temples in Nara, the shrines of four goddesses, Amaterasu and Bodhisattva Hachiman, the Sano Shrine, the Kamo Shrine, and the Kasuga Shrine, to pray for his victory, to chant, to meditate for his victory. So he wasn't doing this entirely quietly, right? He was in control of several houses of influence. And he said, look, we need to get control of this country again. So I need you guys to meditate and put your energies toward me overthrowing this blabbermouth shogunate government that's threatening everyone with these offshoots and bewildering false teachings by these other schools of Buddhism. When warfare broke out, however, the imperial army could not hold on even for a few days. They just weren't as vicious and well-trained as the shogunate, the samurai. Ex-emperors Gotoba, Tsuchimikado, and Juntoku were exiled to Oki Island, Awa Province, and Sado Island, respectively, where they died. Remember, this is what they did to Nichiren. Send him to Sado, send him to Awa Province. A couple of times they exiled him, expecting him to die. But Nichiren got support from the locals, sparse as it was, and he survived, right? Tonsured Prince Dojo, the abbot of the Ninaji Temple, who was the leader of Buddhist priests who meditated for imperial victory, not only was chased out of the Toji Temple, but Seitaka, his favorite boy servant, whom he loved as much as his own eyes, was beheaded. As it is said in the Lotus Sutra, Chapter 25, meditation by means of the false dharma will bring back the curses of those who say them. These are comparatively trivial. In the future, there will be foreign invasions in which everyone in Japan will be attacked just like a pile of hay, burning, or high mountains crumbling down to fill a ravine. So this is an era of tremendous conflict, yeah? So now we move to the persecution of Nichiren. He's showing this lineage of this obvious relationship between truth and its enemies. And sometimes the enemies are more powerful. And yet we must be steadfast in the truth. There's no choice, really. It is Nichiren alone in Japan who knows this. He says this because the propaganda is rampant, right? And propaganda does what? Hell, we just look at the TV today. There's so much propaganda justifying these heinous acts. We know they're heinous. But do we speak about them? Hell, a lot of people just go along with it because, yeah, you know, we're going to be on the side of the victorious, no matter how crazy or heinous their statements are. I mean, this is the human drama in a way. This makes me sad to say that, because I think we all, you and I, would like to aspire to at least better humanity, if not the highest potential in humanity, yeah? I mean, this is why we're Buddhists. We want to better ourselves, and we want to better the life we experience in our own experience and around us. That's true Buddhism, yeah? If I speak up, I will definitely be persecuted, just as loyal Pekan had his breast cut up by King Chao of Yin, and Lung Ping was beheaded for admonishing King Chie of Xia. Venerable Sima, 24th transmitter of the Dharma, was beheaded by anti-Buddhist King Damira. Chu Dao Tseng, who insisted on the doctrine of attaining Buddhahood by Ichantika, was exiled to Mount Shushan, and Tripitaka Master Fat Dao, who remonstrated with Sung Emperor Shui Tsung, was exiled to the south of the Yangtze River with his face branded. It's hard to speak up against authoritarian regimes, isn't it? But that doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. I have long known this in advance, Nichiren says. However, it is said in the Lotus Sutra, 13th chapter, quote, we will not spare even our lives. We treasure only the unsurpassed enlightenment, end quote. In the Nirvana Sutra, it is said, quote, do not hide the teachings of the Buddha, even at the cost of your life, end quote. You have to have that kind of conviction. That doesn't mean make yourself a subject of beheadings. Don't run headlong into that. That's not what that means. That means the conviction you must have to stay your course is all important. Whether you die by the sword or you die of old age, if in those last moments you're not resolved, then you will suffer tremendously. Even if it's for a few minutes, let alone years of old age. Yeah? You have to have this kind of conviction. Confidence. When I chant Namu, I am here and I am listening. Thus I have heard. Myoho Renge Kyo. Boom. Buddha. That has to be strong in your mind and you have to be witnessing it. If we spare our lives in this life, will we be able to become Buddhas? Because there is only this one. In which life can we save our parents and masters? How can we change that kinetic, that momentum of karma of which we are a part that remains within us? Right? I've talked about this a lot. And we all have different ways of talking about it, but as a Buddhist, we see it for what it truly is. Once our parents die, they're extinct, they're gone, there's no continuing ball of energy that's a Donna or a Bruce or a parent. That energy that is common with those people, our parents, are energies of ours. That we experience them, that we experience our parents, our siblings' influence and inculcated energies and makeup in our lives and the lives that they touched. Remember, self and environment are not two separate things. Samsarically, we perceive a self and other, but that's an illusion because when we break it down to the energies, the karma, the momentums, it's all connected. There is no that energy, this energy, right? So when my parents die, I hold my experience of my parents in myself. It stops evolving when they die, but my experience of them continues to evolve. And if my experience of them is going to continue to evolve, I want them, my experience of them, to evolve toward enlightenment. Do you see how that connection works? So, in which life can I save my parents and masters? Obviously, in this life. Theirs is over. Thus, I decided to speak up with the true teachings. Because this is my life I'm experiencing right now. And if I'm to influence the world around me, my karma, my momentum has to be cleansed. All of it working toward enlightenment. Because that's how I change the world. My world. Our world. Yeah? As expected, I've been expelled out of my residence. Abused, beaten, and hurt. On the 12th of the fifth month in the first year of the Kocho era, 1261, I fell out of shogunal grace and was exiled to Ito of Izu province. On the 22nd of the second month of the third year of the same era, I was pardoned. 3 years, 2.5. Thereafter, the more intense my aspiration for Buddhahood became, the more conviction he built in Shakyamuni's teachings of the Lotus Sutra, the more it became obvious what was happening, and he took responsibility for his own life, mission, place in history? The more frequently I spoke up, no, you don't understand, the emperor's naked, right? I keep hammering that home because this is the leitmotif of Nietzsche's life. Great difficulties were brought about just as high waves are caused by strong winds. Nietzsche being the strong winds in this case, yeah? I could imagine through my experiences how terrible it was when never disparaging Bodhisattva was beaten with sticks and hit by stones and broken tiles were thrown at him. Right? This is the expedient means of, within the lotus, of talking about never disparaging Bodhisattva. Again, a personage, not an actual person, representing this behavior, this mental experience, and the real life samsaric repercussions. It's all described in there. And Nietzsche's like, I get it now, right? The difficulties experienced by monk virtue consciousness toward the end of Rejoice Kangi Buddha's period seems incomparable to mine. Incomparable to mine. Incomparable, same thing. I have no place to live at all in the 66 provinces and 2 islands of Japan, even for a day or a moment. Even sages who, like Rahula in the past, keep the 250 precepts and bear the intolerable, and men of wisdom like Purna abuse me, Nietzsche, whenever I see them. I can't even rely on the wise protecting me. They're all afraid for their own lives. But see, that's the key. They would rather cower and serve false doctrine than to join in what you might call a righteous cause. I'm not a big fan of the word righteous, but in this context, you know what I mean. Correctness, correct practice. It's too fearful. I understand. Even men as honest as Wei Cheng of ancient China and as wise as Imperial Regent Fujiwara Yoshifusa of Japan treat Nichiren with hostility beyond reason. Get out of here. Go away. Right? Not to mention ordinary people in this world who hate me just as dogs hate monkeys and hunters chase deer. Because they're all scared. No one in Japan says Nichiren may have something reasonable to say. This is quite natural, right? This is what people do. Everyone chants Namu Amida Butsu. And I declare that those who chant it will surely fall into the hell of incessant suffering. Everyone respects Shingon esotericism, and I declare that Shingon is the worst teaching that destroys our country. Rulers of Japan and Kamakura revere the Zen school, and I declare that it is the work of devils, heavenly devils. I know I brought these difficulties on myself, because I'm not willing to remain silent while the emperor rocks around naked, right? Therefore, I do not blame those who abuse me. They're ignorant, right? To do so would be of no use to me because there are not a few of them. To run around showing and blaming them for my pain is a useless endeavor. I just need to keep telling the truth. They will sooner or later come around to it. That has to be my mindset, right? Many people beat me, but I shall not feel dispirited, for I fully expect it. As I harshly criticize them increasingly at the risk of my life, hundreds of Zen monks, thousands of Pure Land Buddhists, 100,000s of Shingon masters slandered me to the magistrates, men of power, and to their wives and widows. In the end, those widowed nuns said in anger, quote, Nichiren is the worst in this country. He is the very monk who curses Japan for the sake of its destruction. It is he who insists that the late lords Hojo Tokiyori and Shigetoki have fallen into hell. Behead him at once without examining his crimes. Don't even ask questions. Just kill him. His disciples must be beheaded or exiled to distant provinces or kept in prison, end quote. So everything was done according to their wishes because they're the elite and everybody trembles at their feet, right? During the night of the 12th day of the 9th month in the 8th year of the Bunei era in 1271, I was to be beheaded at Tatsunokuchi in Sagami province. For some unknown reason, my execution was postponed and I was sent to a place named Echi. Well, there are different documents, different count. I can't think of the word now. Anyway, there are varying stories about what happened at Tatsunokuchi. But this takes a very earthbound approach. It just says something happened. A lot of people gave credit to Nichiren's elocution before his beheading, changing and influencing the minds of the very samurai that were there at the time and elites who were there at the time to witness the execution. But besides the details, on the surface, it just something unusual happened and he wasn't beheaded. He was instead sent to Enchi on his way elsewhere. On the 13th day, it was rumored that I would be pardoned, but in fact, I was exiled to Sado Island. So there were those, because of the speech he made there, or whatever the strange event was, that put an appeal to their elites to let him alone, just pardon him from getting his head cut off. Don't begin to like him, just pardon him from killing him and just send him away or just let him go. He's totally under control. I think he got the message, but that didn't happen. But in a way, he was pardoned a bit. Said, well, you can't kill him, then we're going to send him to Sado Island and let him die on his own, basically. There, my execution was rumored constantly for 3 years. We'll just go out there and kill him at some point. We'll send somebody out there to take care of it. But it was not carried out in the end. I was eventually pardoned on the 14th of the second month of the 11th year of the Bunei era in 1274, another 3 year stint. On the 26th day of the third month in the same year, I returned to Kamakura. Kind of a dangerous thing to do. On the 8th day of the 4th month, I met Heino Simon Nojo, whom I told many things, including my prediction that the Mongol armies would attack Japan within the year without fail. He was relentless. I left Kamakura on the 12th day of the 5th month in the same year and entered Mount Minobu because I knew I broke the last stick, right? The last straw, as it were. But he had to. You remember Nichiren's mission in remonstrating and going to the top. He was trying to save the people of Japan, the nation of Japan. But the nation is nothing without its people. So the people of Japan were all practicing false views and just destroying the benefit in their lives. They were living miserably, constant civil wars and famines and all sorts of things. And he wanted to save them, but the situation was so dire, certainly in Nichiren's view, and we've read his letters talking about this, that he could go about and just start talking person to person and help people practice correctly. But his lifetime wouldn't be long enough to create such a wellspring to counteract the enormous power of the elites. So he was determined to head up to the elites, those controlling the fate of the nation, and convert them. Because if he did that, the rest of the nation would just follow as a matter of course. They were all authoritarian. So if the boss says, chant Namu Milarengekyo, then the nation goes, okay, boss, right? So you can change a lot of minds and practice much more quickly that way. This is why Nichiren was so relentless in his reproaches to the elites, the elite classes, the leaders, right? It's quite a mission he set out for himself. I sacrificed my life solely for the purpose of repaying the favors I'd received from my parents, masters, and three treasures of the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. And my country. But I am still alive. How is that? I mean, I know I'm being a pain in the ass, right? But I'm so filled with right thinking and correctness. And I so clearly see what's happening without it. I cannot remain silent. And if I'm going to repay my gratitude for that knowledge, for that experience of Buddha in my mind, my day-to-day life of existence isn't so valuable that I can replace that egotistical pleasure for the tremendous insights I've received from this practice. I have to make it known. Right? That's bodhisattva. It has been customary for wise men to live in retreat in the woods after remonstrating their countries three times in vain. Ah, that's an interesting dimension, isn't it? Why did Nichiren run away to Mount Minobu? Well, he didn't really run away. Nichiren is not known for cowering away from a confrontation, is he? But he had, true to form, true to history, to culture, he had remonstrated three times with the shogunate and the elite. Right? They wanted to behead him. They exiled him twice, three times. And now he said his piece. I've done it three times. I can do no more. And so, yes, he sheltered himself in Mount Minobu, a very remote region. But he didn't do it to hide from confrontation. He did it so that, remember the value of his life I was mentioning a few moments ago? His life then would continue as a wise man who would marshal his wisdom and his teachings from a safer location, not surrounded by those who would behead him, and use senior monks, senior students, to help disseminate the correct teachings throughout Japan, albeit quietly. Right? And this is the beginning of the Nichiren sect, Mount Minobu, except for one notable of the six senior disciples who would reject, after Nichiren's death, the other five disciples' understanding of Nichiren's doctrine. He would take his own vision of Nichiren, and he would go all the way to Mount Fuji and start the Fuji school of Nichiren. The one outlier. Yeah? I have videos on that. I think I used the word, not schism. Is it schism? Anyway, you can research that or search that out on this channel, and there'll be a few videos about the schism, right? So now, after saying all of this and locating his place in history, for the purposes of this discussion, tribute to late Master Dozen. So now he's actually going to discuss the reason he's written this whole thing about his master who's recently passed away. This virtue of Nitrin, I am sure, is known to all, from the venerable three treasures above down to such heavenly beings as the king of the Brahma heaven, Indra, and the sun and moon. In other words, nothing I've said here is outside of fact and truth, and everybody knows it. The souls, there are no souls in Buddhism. Gosh, that makes me so angry. I'm going to say the spirit of my parents, because that's what's within, not something other, right? The spirit of my parents and Master Dozen will be given plenty of help by this virtue of mine. Isn't that, that's in line with Buddhism and everything I've said. Souls, I constantly let down by these translations. However, I have one doubt here. Venerable Maudgalyayana tried to save his mother. Remember that story? Maudgalya, who had fallen into the realm of hungry spirits. But in vain, for she was kept suffering there. She was a drug addict, a gambler. Her momentum, her karmic energy was unsatiable for earthly things. It was very hard to change that memory of her in Maudgalyayana, right? He was trying to rescue the memory of her, her spirit in him. But he knew so much pain from her that he couldn't quite cleanse that from her memory. That's tactile. We feel that, yeah? Sunakastra, a son of the Buddha Shakyamuni, when he was a bodhisattva in his earlier days, was influenced by evil friends and fell into the hell of incessant suffering. Yeah? Throughout Buddhism, there's many stories of sometimes your enemies, the worst ones, are the ones closest to you, because you want to believe them, you want to include them, and so they kind of drag you into their mess. The Buddha must have wished to save his son with his might, but he could not help him because he was that was caused by his own karma. And so this is again a lesson on individual practice. Nobody can change your karma for you. You are the only one who can change your karma. And certainly the Buddha Shakyamuni, witnessing one of his sons going astray, you would think, well, he's the Buddha. But again, as I keep saying, the karma we change is our own. We affect and influence the karma around us, but to the degree that we alter that karma, that's an illusion. Our influence is in the minds of those with the karma, that they would alter their own karma. You understand influence? I do not think that the late Master Dozen hated me, for I am one of his beloved disciples. However, he was cowardly. Interesting. Moreover, he had a strong attachment to Mount Kiyosumi. He was fearful of Steward Tojo Kagenobu, and besides, Monk Echin and Jisujo, as evil as Devadatta and Kokalika, were always by his side intimidating him. So evidently, even though Nichiren learned a tremendous amount from Dozen and his stay at Sechoji, Dozen remained a loyal disciple, even though he was an abbot, of the prevailing strength and political propaganda of false teachings. So this is kind of a lament that in a memorial to his one of his greatest teachers in his life, Nietzsche, was having to show his fallacies as well. Because Nietzsche is teaching the remaining monks at Sesshōji, he's still working to correct their practice. That's the overarching message constantly. Yeah? Dzogchen was so frightened that he abandoned his disciples who followed him for many years, even though he loved them. Therefore, I'm not sure about how he will be remembered, which is his next life. It was lucky for him that Kagenobu, Enchi, and Jisojo died before him, because that gave him some respite from all that bad influence, yeah? They died because of the condemnation of the 10 female Rakshasa demons, guardian deities of the Lotus Sutra. If they had lived longer, Master Dzogchen would not have had the time even to have a little conviction in the Lotus Sutra. They wouldn't have allowed him to. Well, it was him who wasn't allowing himself, under the oppression of them, to experience the Lotus Sutra fully. Their deaths enabled him to have a little conviction in the Lotus Sutra, but it was as useless as fighting sticks after quarrels are over or a lantern in the daytime. Besides, it is quite natural that one feels compassion for his children and disciples under any circumstances. His love for his disciples, his sense of responsibility to them, was great. But he couldn't get out of his own way. His own fears ruled him. This is why he's calling him a coward, not because he's calling him out as a bad person, but certainly an inadequate practitioner of Buddhism, because he allowed himself to be browbeaten into false doctrine. Master Dzogchen probably took pity on me, exiled to the island of Sado. But he never asked about me. Though it seemed possible for him to do so. And you and I could imagine, he was probably embarrassed, because in his heart, he could see his student Nichiren as being excellent. But also compounded his own fear, because here was an excellent student speaking out and being murdered, essentially, sending exile to death. Yeah. I do not think, therefore, that he truly believed in the Lotus Sutra. Once again, if you truly believe, then no matter what the threat, you don't change your beliefs to modify to the threat. You hang on to them, even if you have to do it secretly. You respect the truth. And you muster the strength with that truth over time to stand up to oppression. Alas, not everyone is Nichiren, right? Nevertheless, I am shocked and feel sorry to hear of his death. Compassion, yes? Although I feel like running up at once to his tomb through fire and water to recite the facile of the sutra, tapping on the gravestone to help him attain Buddhahood, I do not think I should come out of the mountain now. Mount Minobu. I do not think I am a recluse. I'm just operating and propagating from a location that's not as easily attacked or surrounded or advanced. I'm making it harder for my enemies and those that would silence me to take the time, expend the effort to send troops out to this remote location just to kill me. They'll just handle the crowd around them, and I will fade into the distance, but I won't, right? Others, however, might think that I am and that it is customary for wise men not to come out of their retreats. If I should leave this mountain for no special reason, people may think that I am a person who cannot keep his vows to the end. Yeah, tradition, culture, yeah. Therefore, it is impossible for me to leave the mountain, no matter how much I would like to. So please, please understand why I'm not present for your memorial ceremonies for Dozen. It would be too problematic, and my position at this point has its strength in propagation because I'm in a remote location. I've moved to a protective state since I'm through with my three culturally bound remonstrations, yeah? Both of you were my masters when I was young, just as Gonsho and Gyohyo, who had been masters of Grandmaster Dengyo, later became his disciples. You two are now my disciples. Very overt, what I was saying earlier. Now that Dozen's gone, you have nothing in your way to practice Lotus Sutra Buddhism. So follow my example, follow my doctrine, which explicates the Lotus Sutra Buddhism that you should be practicing without reserve. Take me as your teacher. Pretty bold. It was the supreme service to the Lotus Sutra in this world under the heaven, your attainment of Buddhahood in your coming life is without doubt. You will attain Buddhahood should you practice Lotus Sutra Buddhism correctly, as I have shown. Become a student of mine. I will show you. I will support you. And you will attain Buddhahood. So, having said all that, he now resorts to being the teacher. The essence of the Lotus Sutra. I don't think I have time to get into this. Well, this is a short... Question. What is the essence of the 28 chapters of the one-volume Lotus Sutra in 8 facets? What's the essence of the Lotus Sutra? Answer. Well, the essence of the Flower Garland Sutra is the Daihoku Butsu, Kengon Gyo. That of the Agama Sutras is the Busetsu Chuangon Gyo. That of the Sutra of the Great Assembly, the Daihodo Daikyo, Daijikyo. That of the Wisdom Sutra, the Makahana Haramitsuko Kyo. That of the Sutra of the Buddha of Infinite Life is the Busetsu Muryokjuko Kyo. That of the Sutra of Meditation on the Buddha of Infinite Life is the Busetsu Kamuryojukyo. That of the Pure Land Sutra, the Busetsu Amida Kyo. And that of the Nirvana Sutra is the Daihatsu Nehangyo. All Buddhist scriptures begin with the phrase, "Thus have I heard." The title above this sentence is the essence of the respective sutras. So he's demonstrated, look, you want to know what the essence of the Lotus Sutra, it's found in the first statement of "thus I have heard," Namu, the following, which is the title of that respective sutra. This is the form, always has been. So then, what is the essence of the Lotus Sutra? Thus I have heard, Myoho Renge Kyo. Namu, Myoho Renge Kyo. Thus I have heard is that I am present and I am listening profoundly, enacting this teaching. Namu, thus I have heard, Myoho Renge Kyo. Regardless of the volumes of each sutra, its title is the essence. Spells it out. This can be applied to the Great Sun Buddha Sutra, the Diamond Peak Sutra, and the Sutra on the Act of Perfection. The names of the Buddhas, too, represent virtues of respective Buddhas, such as the Great Sun Buddha, Sun Moon Light Buddha, Burning Light Buddha, Great Universal Wisdom Buddha, and Cloud Thunder Rolling King Buddha. Remember, these are all personages. They're aspect of the mind. Now the same can be said of the Lotus Sutra. The five characters in Chinese, Myoho Renge Kyo, appearing above the sentence, "Thus have I heard," is the essence of the one-volume Lotus Sutra and eight facils, the essence of all the sutras, and the supreme and true Dharma for all Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, men of the two vehicles, Sravaka, Pratyeka Buddha, heavenly beings, human beings, Asura demons, and dragon deities. That's exciting, because now he nails it down, right? Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. So the next chapter, or the next portion, will be the merit of the Daimoku chanting, how this always has worked, and how it works in particular for the Myoho Renge Kyo. And then the next chapter will be the Namu Myoho Renge Kyo, the essence of the Supreme Dharma. The Namu Myoho Renge. I keep stressing Namu because that is the Daimoku with the title of the Lotus Sutra. You can't just pick and choose and say, well, I'm just going to chant the title. If you don't dedicate your mind to actualizing what the title is and what it represents, then what are you doing? It's like saying you're going to go for a drive in the car to the store, but you never get in the car. Or you expect the car to go alone. Although with Elon Musk, that may happen soon. All right, so I will save all of that about the Daimoku for the next video. I know, but that should make for a very useful video. So I want to capture that on its own. That will make it useful not only for our own practice, but as a tool that you could send to others about the who are maybe asking questions. What's with the Daimoku? What does it mean? What's it for? How is it chanted? What's the form? What's the correct form? Those kinds of questions. We can rely on people to like and subscribe and search for themselves. But, you know, a lot of people tend to fall toward laziness. So they'd much rather have somebody send them, tell them, because we have an authoritarian foundation in our samsaric lives. Unfortunate as it is, it becomes quite rewarding to break through it. So, good, bad, yeah. Right? So this could be the next video, or this video as well, but for that matter. But the next video will be concentrated on the Daimoku and might become a good tool of propagation. Certainly a good tool to answer a great many questions and start people on self-practice, studying, right? Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. That's why we're here. Thank you. Don't forget to like and subscribe, please. You can put the notification bell on if you want to be updated. I don't do that very often myself with other stuff on YouTube because I like to do my own research. If there's something I tend to miss, I may put a notification on it so that I am reminded of something I want to keep up on. But what's important is that you use your own determination to come and look through all the videos, download the podcast, go to threefoldlotus.com/home/home.htm, go down the list, download some of those documents, right? This is our study. So you have to make an effort, right? Buddha doesn't come to us from Amazon. It doesn't, you don't open a package and go, I understand everything, right? It's our effort. And we certainly heard that theme throughout this entire letter. we have to take our life condition by the horns. Yeah? Namu Myohren Geikyo. So thank you. Thank you. I got a new patron on Patreon. Glad to see you here. Thank you. I hesitate putting names on these videos just because I respect your privacy. If you'd like that kind of accolade, I'm certainly willing to provide it. I'm just happy to see you joining us and getting some inspiration, some insight from these videos, podcasts, information. Don't forget the bookstore. Get yourself a mandala if you haven't already. cafepress.com/Gohonzon. And with all that business out of the way, I'm just thankful that you're here. Stay healthy. Be kind to yourself. And I'll see you in the next one. Okay? All right. And bye for now.